You about ready? Because I am. This is Marty Ford from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station. From up your block and down your alley. This is You About Ready. And I am Marty Ford. And you are listening on bbsradio.com. The finest technology out there to bring me to you and the many other hosts they have out there with their variety of shows. I think it's like fingerprints. No two are alike. If you scroll through what the offerings are on the menu, you'll see everyone's got something different to talk about, and that's what we do. We talk here. We introduce stuff on this show to empower you, to enlighten you, to enhance your life, to make you feel good about yourself, to get you critically thinking about what's going on in your world and perhaps the world around you, people in your life. So when you do good things for yourself, you're going to do good things for others. We want to empower you, make you critically think, and most of all, we want you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible and have fun on the journey to success. That's what we're about. I am the original American Idol, and I am also a big piece of leather, well put together, can go out in any kind of weather, altogether light as a feather. Oh, watch out, here come a girl named Heather. I can flow with the best of them. I made Biggie Small. My beats is that good when he was around. My rhymes were rhyming, and with no timing, I just let it go. So we are the most entertaining, informative, and empowering fastest 60 minutes on radio and everywhere else. In fact, 60 minutes just went by, boom, and I'm not talking about Mike Safer, Mike Wallace and Morley Safer et al. I'm talking about 60 minutes because I've added 4 or 5 songs to my parade, my repertoire, my motivation, pump me up, get me ready going. Then I always start off with some Blue-Eyed Soul. And I've told you, it's Joe Cocker and Journey and Steve Winwood and James Ingram, Michael McDonald, and the Commitments I added with some of their Blue-Eyed Soul from a Motown old song. But I went, something got me this past week, and I had time where the storm was coming. It didn't come. It wanted to come. It never showed up far from here. We got lucky. But I went and I found some really cool stuff that gets the juices going. Couple of them, an older song. I remember I listened to this when I was overseas, and I don't remember where, but I listened, I heard it somewhere, and it was made, at least I think I was overseas. I can't remember, you know, I never remember anything I forget, and I never forget anything I remember. But back then, I heard a song called Venus, and it was sung by a group called Shocking Blue, and I found it on YouTube, a 1985 version, which I think is older than when I first heard it, but I'm not sure. I'm not a musical historian. But it gets me going. It's a live concert performed, and the voices and the musical talent, the instruments, and the song itself. Then I found a more updated version that I remember hearing, a group called Bananarama. I think it's 3 or 4 girls shaking it all over and singing this great high-energy, high-power song, intense with passion and movement and energy. Remember, energy is a key word. It's one of our power words from my book, Power Up Your Power. And then I found J-Lo singing Let's Get Loud. I think that was at probably 100,000 people. I think maybe the soccer international games, World Cup or something like that. She sang the opening song and had all their dancers and musicians, and she's a spectacular performer as well. And then I found 4 of them together singing Lady Marmalade from Moulin Rouge. Those 4 girls, with what they do as far as coming down the steps, in gowns, in high heels, singing, dancing, and performing. They must spend hours in the gym and training and practicing their craft and their skill. And what I am, that fast, that 60 minutes, boom, just went. I came down at like 8:02, and I finished up. I always finish up. I've included this in the rep right now, is the run back of the 109-yard field goal attempt that was run back by Chris Davis from Auburn. He ran it all the way back for a touchdown. Auburn won the game. It's an Iron Bowl down there, Auburn, Alabama. It's a historical rivalry down there between the two great schools down in Alabama. And I just get so pumped. I get goosebumps and tears come to my eye. I watch that kid run, and I hear the announcers, and he says they're not going to keep him on the field tonight. Maybe 90,000 some odd people down in the stadium, probably another 50 outside. Screaming, yelling, oh my God, they went around the country or in that part of the country, and they filmed and got on YouTube different people's reactions all over, and especially the Auburn folks We here on the East Coast, up here in our home, we went wild too. At least I did. Even my wife got pretty intense watching that fantastic finish to collegiate sports. And it's nice when the team you're winning, rooting for wins, but that's another story. But it was just a tremendous accomplishment, you know, going from almost worst to first, Auburn's journey in the past year or so. And they've had success in the past, as you know, with Cam Newton and Bo Jackson, among others. Now, I'd like to thank all the people, because I don't know how to do it. I've tried and have never had success. I'd like to thank all the people out there who are skilled enough to videotape something and legally put it up on YouTube for people like me to go through and search and find things that are important in our life. Because my music, I tell you about it. It doesn't have to be your music that gets you going. But with so many people plugged in with earbuds and so many headphones and different forms of getting music from the machine to their head and their ears, it's just wonderful that YouTube is out there and people are able to do that. I can't, and it's like anything else. I always thank the artist, like I told you before, letting me visit the place where they live, because I can't. There's more people who can, or there's more people like me who can create beauty through art, music, dance, sports, writing, and so forth. And there's so few of those folks who can. So always thank them for letting you and me visit the place where they live. It's just wonderful. That's how I finish it up. And that gets my juices going. I get tears. I get goosebumps. I'm motivated. And motivation is a key thing. I remember taking a class in college, I think a theater class or something, and the professor always said, what is your motivation? What is the character's motivation? And you had to think about it, right? And I'm not too good at thinking. I just like to just do what I do, as you hear on this BBS radio every week at 9 o'clock Eastern time on my show, You About Ready. Sometimes I just ramble and go off, but I link everything together somehow. It's all linked because it all comes back to who? You, the self, with your center, with your world and your life. The better you make it for yourself by finding things to bring into your life, the better life you're going to have. I mean, I bring sports, I bring music, I bring art. I can't do it, but I go and I see and I look and I observe and I watch and I speak. We went to a theater about the size of a garage last week, my wife and I. She knew some folks. We went with a drama, and we sat right up front. And afterwards, during the show, you could actually see the actors sweating, because that's how close we were. And the passion in their eyes and in their hearts came through in their delivery and presentation. A little small neighborhood theater in an old church building that was converted. And it's just wonderful to do that. So experience things, do things that you like to do, right? And what's that help you do? Fight boredom, the enemy of us all. Shut off the rectangular brainwashing box and get out, get up, get out, and get going. And we're going to get going right now with our critical thinking. Last week, I asked you, if it takes 3 people, 3 days and 3 nights to dig a hole, how long does it take to dig half a hole? There's only one answer, folks. You can't dig half a hole. Any hole you dig is a hole. Now, had I said, if it takes 3 people, 3 days and 3 nights to dig a 3-foot hole, and how long does it take to dig half a hole, then you can do some simple math and come up with the answer. But I didn't say that. You have to listen to what's being asked of you, not just in these critical thinking brain busters, but in life. And you have to think critically that way. You train your brain. You know, you train your brain to do things, and it becomes automatic after a while. Like doing anything else, the more you do it, the better it gets, the easier it gets, and the more you feel good about yourself when you get the answers, right? So tonight for critical thinking, name 3 consecutive days without using Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Name 3 consecutive days without using Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Now we have a bonus critical thinking one. This is a simple one. The only question I'm going to ask you for you to remember is, where were you between 4 and 5? Where were you between 4 and 5? So we have 2 critical thinking items to think about for the next upcoming week, and I'll give you the answers next week, 9 o'clock Eastern, on bbsradio.com. This is Marty Ford, and the show is You About Ready. You can go download any of my previous shows by going to the BBS, www.bbsradio.com/YouBoutReady, and just scroll through and pick out a couple of shows you want to listen to instead of watching the brainwashing box, the rectangular brainwashing box, where you hear nothing. You hear and see rude, crude, and socially unacceptable behavior by so-called experts and well-educated people and people in the know. They just behave poorly and are poor role models for who? Not us, the older folks, but for the kids, if they're watching. They have enough to watch of poor role modeling anyway. And I hope you're a good role model to your kids and the kids in your world. Clichés. We always talk about clichés, which are really today's form of profanity, even though they're not considered profane. They are obscene in that they are used over and over and over again until we don't want to hear them anymore, but we hear them anymore. And as I say every week, they are predictable. We want to give you, we're going to give two or three tonight. Take it up a notch. Take it up a notch. I think it was Kick It Up a Notch, the cooking show where Emeril, I think, had it. And many of the cooking shows, you know, who use too much of the too dangerous white powdery substances, salt and sugar. It's not heroin and cocaine. It's salt and sugar. They take a long time. The others take a little shorter time if you use too much. Besides salt and sugar, it's the fat, the grease, the lard, the fried, the butter, the cream, the heavy cream, the extra heavy cream, and all the other things that fatten us up, right? We have a little story about that in a minute. So notches were used basically by gunfighters in the old cowboy movies. Every time they could outdraw somebody and win the gun battle, they put a little notch on their pistol or on their holster, let them know who's boss in town, the fastest gun in the West. In fact, I'm so slow, I got to speed up to stop. And also notches were used by bullies or braggarts or actual people who never actually had as many conquests physically, biologically, spiritually, through pollination, if you get my drift, that they talk about. Because the guys who always talked about doing the most or getting the most rarely got anything at all, and they went home empty, and they usually took care of business themselves, sometimes with a stranger when they used the other hand. So they would talk about notches on their belt, right, which is all a bunch of nonsense, usually spoken by people who are limited in many ways beyond that. You know, there's a small enterprise that they have dangling like a participle somewhere in the middle of their body. He's usually called, I think, Herm the Worm, the little one-eyed, ball-headed devil, right? And then we have this one, well. And how many of you begin a conversation or a statement or an answer to a question or some form of conversation, you go, well? And we have Ronald Reagan to thank that, because that was he was known for, well. And it's sort of like a buffer between what you want to say and actually what you start saying. It gets you going, well, right? That's a deep subject, by the way, which is an old joke. And our last one is, for today anyway, is nothing left in the tank. And that's more of an excuse. And we know excuses explain failure rather than reasons that provide success. You know, announcers on sports games use it to describe a team that's going through some tough times. And you might have someone who you follow or you know about, and they're just not putting out a lot of energy, and they do, and then at the when the time is running out in the game, they have nothing left in the tank. And, you know, which always bothers me, because these athletes from school, high school all the way up through the pros, these are trained, conditioned, year-round athletes who are in the gym with the weights, with personal trainers, with individual instructors leading and guiding and chiseling their bodies and cardio system and everything else between the head and the toes into shape. So when I hear people say, oh, we nothing left in the tank, or we ran out of gas, you know, that metaphor to a car stopping when there's nothing, no more fuel to power the car. And I just don't like that. And I'm sure you've heard it many a time. I'm sure players, you know, and I have the highest respect for players and have short careers, let them make as much money as they want. In fact, let's pay the college athletes and not penalize them and take away their success and the school's success by because somebody bought them a piece of pizza. I mean, let's get crazy here, because, you know, schools are making millions of dollars and the kids are going back to nothing in a lot of cases. Hopefully they get an education. So maybe if the owners had nothing left in the tank, they wouldn't be strong enough to sign the paychecks. So nothing left in the tank. Well, and take it up a notch. Those are our three. Speaking of our, and I usually give you a list of some that we had in the past. I attended a seven-hour training seminar last week. You know, in 7 hours, let me tell you, after about an hour and a half, I can't remember what was said an hour ago. And by the fifth and sixth hour, I'm in Never Never Land with Tinkerbell and the rest of them. Because, like, you get numb after a while, you get silly and you get giddy. And as a group, everyone got that way. And all some people said, hey, can you everybody please calm down a little bit so we can get the heck out of here? Right? And really, like, in situations like that, the only things you actually remember are the last few things that are said. Because as soon as someone says, in closing, or finally, or in conclusion, you perk up because you know you're getting out of there. You think kids are any different in school? Would you have a kid? They can't even sit for 40 minutes, most of them today. They need to burn off that energy so they can sit for 40 minutes and learn some patience and tolerance. So then at the end of the marathon group, we had to fill out a survey, you know, rate them 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, whatever it is. I just put 5s because I was numb to what was going on. And they asked for comments and things like that. And even though they tell you it's anonymous, you have to, or at least most people, me and most people I was talking with, we said all favorable comments, even though we know most of the material was elementary, almost infantile, and could have been done in maybe a 2.5 hour session had it been trimmed down and gotten rid of all the waste, you know, and it was just awful. But we sort of bent the truth a little bit and said how wonderful and great it was, knowing that actually it's not anonymous because they can trace it through many things. Handwriting, some people even put their names on it, and some responded by computer, and there's a paper trail. So tell them what they want to hear, get your certificate, and move on. And that's a shame that we have to do that. So the speaker was awful. And, you know, he talked down to the floor. He turned his body away and wrote on a board and was talking at the same time in small letters. He did have one cool thing. He used different colored markers to change the pace, but he wrote small enough that no one can see 10 or 15 feet away. I'd like to write, in a case like that, my favorite comment is to say, listen, rather than attend this seminar for 7 hours, I think I'd rather slide down a razor blade sliding board into a pool of alcohol. But anyway, I did have some awareness to keep me awake for those 7 hours. And the cliches that I found repeatedly spoken at the end of the day was said 26 times. Amazing was said 14 times. I was quite amazed at that because amazing seems to be the top cliche of all times now. Same page was 21 times, and impact led the way with 29 times, because everything that was said will have an impact on what you're doing in your daily chores at work. And I did see something else that I brought up a week or so ago when I mentioned that you just can't retie one of your shoes or sneakers. If one has to be retied, you're automatically going to do the next one. And two guys sitting near me when we came back from break sat in their chair, bent down, and retied one of their shoes. And one guy immediately retied the other one. And the other guy was in conversation, and he was retying it as he was listening to someone talking with him or to him or at him. And then a few seconds later, he bent down and retied his shoe. So that's something that happens almost automatically without thinking about it. That's part of critical thinking. I want to have a few commercials right here. I do have a website, and it's www.connectwithveterans.com. And it's for military personnel, veterans, any war, any time, any age, to go to the website, or their families go to the website, www.connectwithveterans.com, and you enter all your pertinent information, name, rank, serial number, years you served, where you served, what outfits you were in, you know, type of service, and it's for a registry for people to connect with each other. Right, and find some of their buddies. I found a few buddies I've communicated with in the past few years. I met two in person. One lives about 40 miles from me. The other one's about 2 hours from me. Very interesting phenomenon. However, there is a registration fee. Whoa, that's not a bad thing. You pay a few bucks because the registration fee, $25 a year, $10 a month, $10 a year renewal fee, very small fee. That helps pay for the website, which is minimal. And all the money that we gather, when it gets a nice big chunk of change in there, I want to give to deserving vets and their families, because there's a lot of them suffering out there, right? Especially the younger ones coming back with this post-traumatic or shell shock from previous wars. So we need to do something. You know, the government, 67 senators voted to cut the pensions of U.S. military veterans, and I'll almost guarantee that all 67, out of all 67, with the exception of one, because I know McCain served, he voted to cut it, probably didn't serve, right? They send us, and then they want to control our money and our health and our well-being. Not good. Not good. So let's get people to sign up for www.connectwithveterans.com. I also do life coaching and recovery coaching for people who are in need of those kinds of services, because a lot of people in recovery, right? In today's world, you're either in recovery or prevention, as I've discussed before, and I will discuss again. And I do small business consulting to help increase what? Profits, right? By not cutting too much. A lot of little things you can do out there. And the other thing is that Kids in Play. It's called my G-Verb book, Get Up, Get Out, Get Going. I referred to it before. And those are the books, unpublished. So if you have a publisher out there looking for some good material to offer, that's cool. Let me know. You can send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. I've heard from a few people over the past few months, and I do communicate with them, and we get back and forth whenever the need is, whenever there's a message to be responded to. No ball tonight. No reason given. Oh, well. Looking forward to Thursday. Be a lot of guys there. Actually, my legs needed a rest, and tonight I put Vicks on my knees. Vicks VapoRub. Not a commercial. Oh, if you want to be a sponsor of my show, it's very inexpensive. We'll work something out. Very reasonable prices, and I'll give you a few mentions during the show, well, whatever product or service you want to sell. So again, if you want to be a sponsor for my show, You About Ready, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, every Tuesday night, send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com, and we'll work something out. It's not going to break the bank, and it'll help pay for other things as well for me. So I put Vicks on my knees because I figured, wow, that's heat. That might calm down my soreness in there. I've used Vicks on my feet when I started getting a cold, and I thought I was weird. I must have read it somewhere, because everything you read on the internet is true, right? And I checked it out. Excuse me. Maybe I need some now. Vicks on my feet, although I have slippers, in the beautiful downtown basement bar and grill of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station. I didn't say that properly. But I put Vicks on the bottom of my feet, and the theory was that the heat will raise through your body and circulate and help with your cough. And I mentioned it to a few people in the neighborhood, and they do the same thing. So you're not the only one out there, folks, who are doing silly things. And you're not the only one out there with problems, issues, and concerns, which is why a lot of people are in recovery, because they think they are the only ones out there with these things. And you're not. You're not alone. There's a lot of people in the same or similar situation. So get some help. Use me. That's what I do. Part of what I do. But in basketball, the past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of fights, and I can't explain it. A couple of guys who you never hear them say a word, and they were pushing and shoving, and some punches were thrown. They didn't land, and thank goodness. But I'm saying, wow, you don't leave that stuff at the basketball floor. And I don't know what prompted it. We don't even know. We was talking to some of the other guys after the game. What started it? No one knew, right? But it happened. And I'm thinking they don't leave it there where when we play, they must take it home. And two of the guys I know have at least three kids. And one of the guys who was involved with it a couple of weeks ago, his daughter was right next door. And thank goodness she wasn't in to see that behavior. Because the guy who's kind of quiet and reserved, but whatever it is inside, well, let's use a cliche. Still waters run deep. We'll use that cliche, not too often this year, but we'll use that. So there's something churning and burning down in his gut, and he just let it rip, and he's done it three or four times, and there's something else going on. Just like those coaches who yell, scream, abuse, and throw things at their players because they're powerful and they're in control and you'll do as I say. And some of them just got fired recently from some colleges up on the East Coast here. They don't leave that stuff at home. I mean, they don't leave that stuff at practice or in the game. If they're wilding out and misbehaving in closed session like that, which was filmed, luckily, then they're doing that stuff at home behind closed doors. You never know what goes on behind closed doors. Don't assume anything. All is not always well. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So folks like that, and you know what? They recycle these coaches. They'll appear. These couple of guys who got put out a few months ago, they'll reappear in another year or so somewhere in a similar position of authority, power, dominance, and control, and so-called leadership. But if you're a bully, you cannot lead the way true leaders lead. You lead by intimidation and fear, which is not the way to get people to do what you want them to do or what they want to do, because they're always doubting and questioning every move they make. Right? We've all had people we work for or played for on a team that are like that, and we know they're wrong. Just like protesters, especially now in the Ukraine, where you see it, the protesters were right. And that other president, I forget his name, or if I knew it, I couldn't pronounce it anyway, and I'm part Ukrainian. He's on the run and hiding, and they want to go after him, right? And they will. They'll get him somehow to make him hold him accountable for what he did, which is probably more atrocities than we'll ever know, similar to like North Korea, where the UN just published a document saying, yes, there are atrocities in North Korea. Like, you know, when did the lights go on? Yesterday? We've known that for years. Maybe since MASH, when Hawkeye was over there saving lives in his own irreverent way. So they recycle these coaches, and like priests, they surface somewhere else doing their damage, and the cycle goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, people are forgiving, and like you've heard here many times before, when you forgive, you're giving them permission to do it again. Just ask anyone who's been a victim. We have a criminal justice system. Justice for the criminals. Okay, I'm open to that, right? But what happens to the victims? They just go by the wayside. I talked to a kid a few weeks ago. He had some assault charges, right? And he went to court. The judge dropped his charges because he was a good boy for a while, right? And so he was all happy and everything. I said, damn, man, what happened to the people you hurt? He said, I don't know, and I don't care. Well, there's no recourse for them, or very little, probably just another form of bureaucracy. What is going on? How twisted are we in our thinking? Or are we thinking about what is really important? You know, the governor in New York wants to have the inmates be eligible for college or get a college degree while everybody else pays. Anyway, one of my favorite players of all time in basketball growing up, I grew up in Philadelphia and I watched Allen Iverson, and I thought pound for pound through college in the pros, there was nobody stronger, tougher, more aggressive, assertive, and talented and skilled and everything than this kid. He was everything. Unfortunately, he wasn't what the marketing people wanted. He had a different life. He had his own lifestyle, not different. He had his own lifestyle, and he wasn't selling that for anyone, and I respect that. But the guy could have made, I think he's hurting financially right now. I read something. Of course, it was on the internet, so I don't know how true it is, because Mr. Rogers is supposed to be tatted out and a Marine veteran or Navy veteran, and I don't even know if he served. But stuff gets out there. But Iverson could be sitting pretty right now. Right, telling his grandchildren all the stories of his successes going through the scrapbooks with no worries financially. But he took himself out of the market of mainstream marketing and business, which is okay. But if he's hurting now financially, that's a sad statement to end up like that. I hope he's doing well. I think he was playing over in Europe. I saw they retired his jersey in Philly. He got emotional at the ceremony. It was very rewarding and all. But it's a shame that he couldn't take advantage, like so many other players, of the opportunities that come that came his way. Because in life, opportunities are coming by you all the time. Perhaps not as grand as someone in his position or his peers, but for you personally, opportunities are coming all like an assembly line. You just have to pick and choose which ones you want to go after and pursue and what? Obtain, knowing that you're not going to get them all. So I felt bad for him. I felt good for him and not so good for him because of the image and reputation and the persona that he kept, which kept him away from the big money. Speaking of sports and marketing and so forth, you know, the sports companies were probably desperately praying, calling in any kind of marker they had to get Apollo Ono and Lolo Jones, I think her name is, to win a gold medal. Because those two, well-spoken, very attractive, appealing, charming, young man and woman, and so marketable, right? And they present so well. that they could have turned that gold into so much green for themselves and the companies that they would represent had they achieved the gold. And I just felt so bad for them not being able to do that. By the way, turning gold into green, I turned dirt into dollars when I was in the real estate business, right? Green is the neutral color. We're all green. I mentioned before, there's no white or black or brown or yellow or red. We're all green. We're all green, you know? And that's the way it is. Speaking of fun, I saw that in Washington, D.C., there was a big, maybe impromptu snowball fight with many, many people. I couldn't tell how many, but there was a lot of them out there. And they were having fun because I guess they're frustrated and tired and stressed out from the long winter up here on the Mid-Atlantic and the Eastern Coast and so forth. So an impromptu snowball fight, and it's out there, and they had fun. And it's a great thing because many of them looked like they were older folks, not young kids, but they were going back to a time when they were a kid. And that's what kids did. They played and snowball fight and snowman building, a snowman was, and sledding and tubing and sliding down the hills. That's all part of it. That's fun. That's part of get out, get up, get out, get going, my G-Verb book and the way I approach life. I've done it with my kids and many other kids in the past decade or two because that's fun. We want to hold on to that. Always retain and maintain a smallest tiny molecule and freckle-sized percentage of your life that allows you to be a kid, to play with no judgment, no ridicule, no harassment, no anything. And the people who are actually saying those things to you are jealous. They wish they were doing it, but they don't have the energy. Remember, energy is key. My music before the show is filled with energy. If you listen to me, I try to present with energy, which is the way I like to live my life. I'm not always on. You know, after the show, I'll go upstairs from the downtown bar basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, and I'll sit out and read the newspaper. Or now that the season is upon us, March Madness is here, baby. It's here. And every game seems to be a 1 or 2 or 4 or 5 point game, regardless of the ranking of the team, if they are ranked or not. It's so exciting, the amount of talent out there that is spread throughout the country in all these colleges. Some, I don't know where they're at. I research them. We have the big book of colleges our kids were looking for schools, and I try to find out about them to see, wow, how do these kids end up there? And I don't know where these players come from. They're like humongous. Right? And they always have parents who seem to be average size. I don't know what they're feeding these kids, but I wish I had that when I was younger, right? But anyway, this is March Madness, so let it ride. And hope somebody wins Warren Buffett's proclamation that he's going to give somebody $1 billion if and when and should they pick all the games winning in their brackets, right? And if you're not involved with it, get involved with it, because not too many times in your life you're going to have an opportunity come your way, like Warren Buffett's putting out there, to give away $1 billion, right? Everybody's going to be involved with it, unless they choose not to, which is fine too. All right, so energy is important. They had the energy in D.C. during the snowball fight, which allowed them, permitted them to be a kid, which is wonderful, which is wonderful. Maybe the suicide bankers were in the know, not smelling too good, like the recent Valentine's rose. I hate to impose, but can we get the truth? Like eating a sweet treat, Baby Ruth? It's simple as popping a teenage facial pimple. Oh God, can there really be a banker suicide squad? Stay away from the buffet. About this, you've heard me say again and again, stay away. Instead, go out and play. Away from the TV and the couch, please stay. It's okay to pray. But to get up, get out, get going will make you feel like you are all-knowing. Time to stop the body growing and growing. Reduce your size will be your prize. No need to watch, listen, and buy products that lie. What's really cool will be smaller thighs, slimmer hips, thinner face into which you will look and say, for me, I did it. Hooray. Right? I did it. Hooray. So what was your goal this week? Did you accomplish anything? Did you set out last week or previously to do something? Maybe to drop a few pounds? Maybe to get up earlier and get out for a walk? Get to work earlier? Be more prepared? Be open, honest, truthful, respectful of yourself? So therefore, you can be that way with others, make more money. What's wrong with that? You know, green, I said, is the color of everything. Green makes the money go, the world go around. What did you do for yourself? Please do something, right? Set a goal and achieve the goal. Take small steps, little bites, and then you'll get more and more and more. And the taste of honey that you get when you have success makes you want what? More and more and more, right? And that comes from Lady Marmalade. More, 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 right? And I don't know what the translation of the other French I think they're speaking. You know, we're talking about dogs, and dogs are wonderful creatures. They're friends, and they're close to God, because if you spell dog backwards, what do you get? And that's a great thing. We had dogs growing up, a couple of them. And, of course, Mom ended up taking care of the dogs, being the spiritual connection, being the caretaker, being the walker, the feeder, and everything else. Because my brother and I were in school or working, and Dad was at work all day, and that dogs became Mom's best friend. And I do want to get a dog eventually. I'm not sure. Our kids always wanted one, and now that one of them has a dog as a roommate, with one of her roommates, I'm not so sure she's happy about it, because they have to train the dog. But I want to get a dog so I can name it. And I'm going to name it, because naming is the power of definition. Just like Washington, D.C. creates definition for all kinds of things, right? Laws, money, right? You have the power. If you have a kid, you had power over that kid when the kid was born, and you name that kid, or your goldfish, or whatever else you have, or a hamster. I want to get a dog and name it Chuck. So I can teach him to roll over, give me your paw, and I can say, up, up, Chuck. Come on, up, up, Chuck. And then he'll just throw up all over the place, and it'll work. Now, don't get crazy with the bulimia and the eating disorders and all that. That's not what it's about. It's just a silly thing. And you know, on You About Ready with Marty Ford live Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com, it's good to get silly. It'll help you free Willy. And you know, I grew up in Philly. So what do you say when, if you have a dog, what do you say when you come home from work all day and the dog's by himself, or you haven't seen him in a day or so, or whatever, dog comes up to you, and you know what you're supposed to say? Sup, dog? Show some soul. Give him some love. What's up, dog? That's what you say. Because dogs are crazy these days. And you know, the dogs take after their owners. So with the hair and the way they walk, their gait, their stature, their position, their attitude, right? They take and they look after, like their owners, right? Which is not a good thing, because we know there's a lot of crazy people out there. And I say, the crazy people, we got to get them out off the streets. We got to get them away from mainstream society so that we can let other folks out there safely to do what? Play, like our kids. We got to let them play at the park, right? We got to let them play at the park. So they're the ones that are doing all the bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up, but all over these public places, malls, shopping centers, schools, wherever. It's crazy. So if we get the crazy people out, put the crazy people away, and let the marijuana people out, we'll be cool. Because marijuana people are just going to walk their dogs, and maybe their dogs won't be crazy. In our neighborhood, I see there are people walking their dogs, of course, carrying that little green bag of doggy doo, which is very pleasant when they stop to have a conversation with you, and it's fresh, and it's ripe, and it has the scent of the animal there and all the waste there. And then, oh, how are you? Nice to see you. Would you like to shake hands? No, how about a little tap or a pound or an elbow bump or something like that? But keep your hands to yourself, because we don't know where they've been. Well, actually, I do know where they've been. They've been bending over, picking up the dog poop. So we get the crazy people with all the guns away and let the marijuana people out, we're fine, right? You know, when there's a bombing, we blame the bomber. When there's a drunk driver out there, we blame the driver. So why, when there's a shooting, do we blame the gun? I don't know. Someone take responsibility and ownership for what they're doing. It's not the gun's fault, right? 12-year-olds in certain parts of the country, or maybe the world, know how to use guns because they were taught the right way, and they know respect. Yes, you're always going to have some loose ones out there, right? But we can filter that through the more and more of them we get away off the streets. Because medicine doesn't work and therapy doesn't work. We know that. I'm the only one who's going to tell you that. So dogs are crazy, and some of them walk around our neighborhood muzzled. They wrap an extra leash around them. And then they come up to you and say, damn, that's kind of scary. You know, what's that? Why is that dog muzzled? Dogs back in the day used to be friendly. They come up, raise up, maybe jump on you a little bit, and you want to pet them. Then when you do, and you rub their back or their neck or something, they're going to pee all over your shoes. That's cool. Now, all they want to do is take a chunk out of you because they're crazy. And then you see the owner, right? They're crazy too because they don't really react the way normal people do or whatever normal is. I don't know what that is. Sorry for using that word. Right? So they're muzzled because they might attack, right? Dogs take after their owners, their disposition, behavior, manners, and lunacy. That's what they do. So why are dogs crazy? A couple of reasons. Now they have these big box pet stores where an entire aisle in the supermarkets dedicated to animal products, mostly dog and cat food and toys and apparatus. Mostly food. What are they putting in that food that's making these dogs crazy? We know what they're putting in people food to make us fat, stubborn, irritable, gluten, celiac, ADD, whatever it is. We know somebody's messing. Well, we know who it is, the people who control all the farming out there with seeds and so forth. So what's in there or what's not in there that should be in there that maybe was taken out that is causing all this illness out there? Who the heck knows? But I think maybe they discovered it through dogs and say, hey, if we can mess up the dogs, we can mess up the humans and create more opportunities for this pharmaceutical industry and have doctors write more prescriptions and have more people without health care. By the way, if you want to know about health care and how to solve the problem, I got the answer, man. I am the answer man right here. Simple way, throw away Obamacare or Obamascare or Obamanare, which takes hair off your face because you're going bald. On your face and on your head and in your armpits and anywhere else it grows, because you're worried that you're going to go to sleep tonight and not have health care tomorrow, or it's going to triple in cost, or your doctors are out of the plan. I got the simplest way, and I'll explain it if we have time after I talk about the dogs, which I've explained this many times before. And if you go through some of my previous shows, all you have to do is talk about the National Health Care Lottery. It's called the To Your Health Lottery. Right? You have to give it a name. Everything needs to have a noun, right? So they have all this food and specialty stores for dogs, and that's where people are going. It used to be some scraps around the house, some animals outside, because dogs used to be able to run free because they weren't crazy. And I think a big contributor to it, everyone's a manicured golf course lawn, especially in the big houses where you never know what goes on behind closed doors. Right, where two people or two adults and a kid live in this 5,000 or 7,000 square foot house with fully everything that you can imagine. But you never know what goes on behind those doors. But those lawns are landscaped. They're not mowed. My brother and I used to mow lawns and rake leaves and trim bushes. Everything's landscaped, architecture, landscape, certificates. And yeah, it provides jobs and all. But like cutting a lawn, what's the science behind that? You know. But what they put in the lawn, I don't know what they're putting in the lawn, but dogs go around sniffing the stuff that's in the lawns, and their noses are highly sensitive, as we know. And stuff is getting in their system through their nostrils. And they're taking in all this crap that's in the lawn, probably chemicals, the way our food is filled with chemicals, the way cigarettes have become chemicals. And I don't know what alcohol is. You have to go to the micro mini breweries or make your own in your basement to have something that might be pure, but you never know where the ingredients come from and how they've been altered, right? We don't know what the heck to eat. You know, maybe a dandelion growing in your lawn, but it has chemicals in it, which makes you sick and the dogs crazy. So there's a lot of insanity out there with dogs. So we don't do that. We didn't do that when we were taking care of lawns. But today, and what we learned from that was a work ethic and respect and customer service and manners and thoroughness and completeness. And we work for tips. Tips means to ensure proper service. We charged a fee, whatever it was, $5-6 to cut the lawn, but people always gave us a few extra dollars, right? Because we did a thorough job. We left it broom clean. No matter what you clean, leave it broom clean. That's a term that comes out of the real estate business. Broom clean will get you tips. Tips, T-I-P-S, to ensure proper service, right? So the animals, the dogs are in danger. And we are too, because you never know. I'm not talking about the fighting dogs that they train and for what Michael Vick got put in prison for, which was ridiculous in the first place. somebody had something for him that I don't know who he upset during his life, but it just wasn't that isolated incident. Just as Tim Tebow. Why can't Tim Tebow get a job? He's a gifted, talented athlete. He's a heck of a nice guy. From what I've heard, and not heard, from what I've read, he's a positive role model. His teammates thoroughly enjoyed him, right? Why can't he get a job? Is he on some list that said, don't hire Tim Tebow? He wins. Who cares how you win? I don't care how you get to your destination. Whatever road you take, as long as it's legal and appropriate and not hurting anybody, you're advancing yourself. It doesn't matter. As long as you get to your goal and achieve it. It doesn't have to be pretty or exciting or thrilling. It just has to be hard work, determination, the power words, the energy word, right? So, because he can't get a job because he loves his God. He doesn't get in trouble off the field that we know of. He's not involved with substances, or he doesn't have to go into rehab, which has become fashionable these days. I just heard where Incognito, the football player from Miami, has finally entered a rehab. I guess he admitted, or he was forced into it. Probably stayed 3 days like Kardashian, the husband there. He was a basketball player. Odom. You know, I'm good. 3 days. Microwave. I'm done. No, man. You got to do this stuff the rest of your life. What people fail to realize who are in recovery is that they're going to be in recovery the rest of their life if it to work effectively and for them to have the productive life that they want and enjoy the success of their hard work. You just can't turn it on and off like in a microwave, go into a place, you know, clean a mirror, make your bed, take out the trash and say, I'm done, I'm cured. I've worked with it too long. I've seen it not happen for many, and I've seen it. The ones I've seen it work for are the ones who do the little things. Because if you want the big things, you got to do the little things. And the big things will come to you. If you want dollars, bend down when you see a penny. Right? And chances are, when you bend down and see a penny or pick it up when it's on the floor like that, scan around maybe an 8 to 10 foot radius. There might be a couple others. There's usually another one or two out there. People fumbling with change when they pull their keys out of their pocket or a tissue, and some money falls out. It's not a big loss for them, but it's a fine for you. Put that money in a little or a big one of those water gallon jug, 5 gallon jug things. God, by the end of the year, you could have enough to almost buy a tank of gas or get some good dog food for your dog, right? Or mow the lawn yourself and save some more money, right? And maybe buy some and eat some healthy food so you're not becoming part of the obese world we live in, right? Stay away from the buffet. I can't say it enough. So anyway, back to Tebow, right? Why can't he get a job? What's going on there? I don't know. This is money well spent. I was shocked because one of the guys in basketball, in fact, two of them, lived in Texas for a while, and I think they know this town, that spent $60 million on a football stadium. High school, folks, football stadium. What the heck is that about, right? And they just found out that there's a major problem, that the stadium has extensive cracking in the concourse and will close for repairs. So he spent $60 million. I'd like to know who got that money. Whose cousins or brother-in-laws or uncles were the contractors down there? And did they cut the corners like they did in Towering Inferno and make it unsafe for people? That was a Steve McQueen movie, by the way, way back in the day. So I'm showing my age, 63, folks. That's what I am. But I try to stay young, right? It doesn't work all the time. But my music helps me feel young, right? And working with kids helps you feel young, and helping people makes you feel young because you feel good about yourself. So down in Texas, we know everything is big, but how big or actually how little, tiny or small, are the men who made this monster happen? Let's play show and tell. Oh, here we go again with Herm the Worm, that one-eyed, ball-headed little devil, little being the operative word. Drop your drawers and show your stuff, man. You built a stadium, $60 million. It's worthless right now. And speaking of race relations and football, I remember a couple years ago, our high school team was going to play in a neighborhood that was a black neighborhood, right? And we're basically in a white neighborhood. So a white school playing in a black school. Friday night game, a lot of energy, a lot of action. Many of the town, it was down in the black neighborhood in their field. So the buses were ready, and the football team got on the bus, and the cheerleaders and the band and all that, and some parents ran on the bus, and there was a convoy of cars going down there. It was great. But about a week before the game, there was like a parents' meeting, right? And my wife went. I wouldn't go because I knew stupidity would happen. I'm just going. I could care less. I don't mind being around anybody, right? Because I got more souls than I can control. I told you that many times. So one of the moms got up and said, well, I would really like if we had police escorts in the bus with us going down there. So my wife, firecracker that she is, spark plug that she is, love of my life. I hit the lottery when I found and married my wife, located her. It was a blessing. My wife gets up and said, I'll tell you what, you stay home and keep your kid home. If you're going to live like that, we don't want, with that attitude, we don't want you spreading that to the rest of the community out here. In fact, that goes for anybody. You don't want to get out of a black neighborhood. Stay the hell home and hide. Go in your little world and drink your wine and watch all your TV shows and talk about the gossip in the village about who's doing who to what and who's not doing what and whose kid is doing the unless. Stay there. Don't come out in public where you're going to embarrass yourself and maybe embarrass me because I don't want to be around you, right? So we went to the game. No police escort. What are you, crazy? That's why people are nuts with race relations. They get fear. If you have fear, you're gone. Fear is what? Courage is fear that does not control you. Well, there's no courage in this woman or the people like her. Courage is fear that does not control you. You control it. And the people who took control of their lives went to that game and had an absolute blast. Both bands were out there. They competed. They were fun. They applauded each other. Both teams played a competitive, well-played game. The concession stand was open, and everybody went. All right. I stood at the fence down below. I like to be at the action with a couple of the neighborhood people there and some of the guys from our team, the fathers, while a lot of people stood up high in the bleachers and the stands so they could see down and on the whole field. It was wonderful. About 5 minutes ago in the game, the band and the cheerleader kids broke down their equipment and got their stuff and got into the bus. And then by the time that happened, the game was over and the players shook hands and did what they did. And they got into the bus. And as the parents were coming out of the stadium, going to their cars or into the buses, we noticed that there were two motorcycle cops. I think there were four buses for all the kids were leading an escort at the front of the lead bus. And I said, what's that about? He said, do you want to know where the highway is? Can you get to one of the guys, local guys, said, can you get to the highway? Can you get these four buses to the highway? This is before GPS and all for buses, if they have them at all. And I said, geez, I don't know. I'm following you. That's right. So we're going to ask. And guess what, white folks from this suburbia? You ain't special. We do this for every team who comes down to play us. It's a courtesy. I said, geez, thanks. That's a great thing. I hope they'll be able to do the same for you. In fact, I did do the same a few years later, coaching Little League Baseball. It wasn't the same group. It was another group, a group of black folks who came in from another town, and it was a baseball game, and they got lost. They couldn't find the playground we were playing. They finally got there about 40 minutes late. Two of the moms got out of the truck and said, we have to go to the bathroom. I said, no problem. We have a little clubhouse there at the park, but it was locked. Why was it locked? Because some kid, little kid, had camped during the day, threw some stones into the toilet, and it upset the town fathers and the league commissioners, and they locked it. So there was no place to go to the bathroom. And I felt so bad for these people. There was 8 SUVs or cars that pulled into the parking lot, and they all had to go to the bathroom and driving around for an hour after eating dinner and traveling. So I went over to I said, follow me. I drove over to the local supermarket, and I knew they had a bathroom in there because I have used it in emergency times several times, right, when I'm out walking or shopping away from home when nature calls. And I went in. I showed them where the bathroom was. They went in at 2 at a time, male and female and so forth, and they took care of business, and there was no problem. They didn't get the stairs, right? I'm sure some felt they were being watched and so forth, but it worked out well, and we played the game, and everything was fine. But when you get to know people, there are no differences. The outside, the book is different. Each book is different. Each record album is different. Each CD is different. Each TV show, every poster is different. But what's on the inside? Where's your character? Where's your empowered self that propels you to do something. Remember, you got two hands. One is to help yourself, and the other one is for helping somebody else. That's the way it goes. And if you don't, you have two ears and one mouth, you should listen twice as much as you talk, right? But we don't do that sometimes because we always want to talk, chat. I know I'm hollering at you for an hour, right? That's what I'm doing right now, but I don't live like this all the time. Actually, I wish I had like a 3 or 4 hour show every day and people would call in. That would be cool, but it's not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Impossible to do that. You have to shut it off, tune it out, and recharge yourself. You got to get up, get out, and get going. You got to exercise. You got to feel good about yourself. You have to empower yourself. Right? You have to do more than you ever thought possible. You have to do what you do best and a little bit more. That's all it takes to become empowered. Do what you do best and a little bit more, and you will be fine. Now, here's a surprise. This is a big surprise. The Kennedy lady who was charged with falling asleep at the wheel is terrorist. I only say it because it's another Kennedy doing something they shouldn't be doing, probably knowingly. In fact, I'm saying knowingly took the wrong medicine or was given the wrong medicine by the housekeeper, so they'll blame the housekeeper. But they can't investigate because the housekeeper is probably illegal, and then they'll have more problems. And she got acquitted for all. You know, she pulled off the side of the road, was found asleep with medication in her blood, and she believes she took the medicine accidentally. Instead of taking one medicine, she took another because both were out on the counter in similar-looking bottles. Although, if you see medicine, there's not too many that look alike. Shape, size, color, texture. That's what companies do, right? They make it that way. But as was predicted, and would have been a good bet if Vegas was taking money on it, that she would have got off. And, you know, it's sad, but just another event in the sad Kennedy life, which why we're so interested in that, I don't know, right? I just don't know the attraction to families like that, to people like that, and to all the same things you see on TV, why we're attracted to horrific situations. Maybe because they give away a lot of money, right? This is Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. We're ready to sign off. We're ready to go. We're going to be here next week, 9 o'clock Eastern time. It's time for me to make like a hockey player and get the puck out of here. What we do good, no one remembers. What we do bad, no one forgets. Power up your power, because the power is in you.